I do, but I'm sure I'm glad it took me for now.
Bless his holy name.
Yeah.
Blessed be the name of Jesus. He's lost without hope. Lost without help. He came to where I was. Ministered to my need. Drew me with an everlasting love. He said, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Solomon said he brought me to the banqueting house and his banner over me was love. But God so loved the world. We're yet without strength. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Why is that? He told us in verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Blessed be his holy name. Let's go to Psalm 10. I don't know really what else to title this, except for, I've said it before, I'll say it again. We're going to do two parts, Lord willing, here at 11 and 11 service, the 1 o'clock service. But we're going to do two parts. And so on the end of that, let's title it this, The Best Message We Ever Heard. Okay. That's the title of the message. I'm not playing around with all this stupid fluff. We're just getting down to the bottom of it. Amen. I told him up there in Maine, I told us, I want you to preach on the greatest sermon ever. I said, I would title it, the greatest. They didn't do that, the chickens. So if they're listening, y'all chickened out. It was all this fluff, and you listen to the message, and it has nothing to do with the title. It was just a cute title. So I said, let's just forget the fluff and get down to the bottom of it. Amen. Amen. In Psalm chapter 10, and really what I want to look at is the two places here. But I want to start in verse 2. And then we'll look at verse 18 and then bring the message the Lord's given us. But he says, the wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. Now, I'm going to preach to poor people this morning. If you don't think you're poor, you probably need to read about the church at Laodicea. In verse 18, he said to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress. So, under the guise of the greatest message you ever heard, we're going to preach on the oppression of the poor with the Lord's help. In verse 1, he says, why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? And then here's the wrestling. And I realize that the wicked oftentimes in the Old Testament, you look at it closely, you'll see it's more than just wicked doers on this earth. There's far more to it. Some of you understand that. I don't want to get into that this morning for the obvious reason, but simply to say that the wicked, there is a spirit of Antichrist that is in the world today. There's also, you're doing the work of your father, the devil. But then more than that, he said, you who were dead in trespasses and sins, hath he quickened. There's the deadness of those that are trapped in their trespasses and sins. There's no spiritual life. There's great oppression of the wicked. When I looked at this verse the other day, I was looking at the wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. There's two ways to look at this. You can be the victim, which is the poor, or you can be the oppressor who is proud. You can be the persecutor who is proud, the wicked. But then in verse 4, he said this, the wicked through the pride of his countenance, he said, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. And then verse 5 said this, his ways are always grievous. And so he gives us understanding not only of the wicked, but then he speaks also of the poor. And that's really what I want to look at this morning with the Lord's help. And if you're a victim of poverty, I guess this message is probably not going to make you feel better about your circumstances, but it might awaken you to the fact that you live in poverty oftentimes because you're a victim of sin. I watch a nation that claims poverty but lives far from poverty. I understand you have the homeless. You have those that did not have food last night. You have children in America starving to death. The animal shelters have plenty of money, but the food shelters do not. We're today when men's desires of their heart are always what? More money. I said many times in this pulpit, other places, if I had more money, I would just spend more money. I have all my need is met. There's nothing I have need of. And if I had more, I would spend more. And I'll be honest with you, I'd like to say I would give more, but I haven't been proven with that, so I don't want to make myself a liar. And God knows my heart, so I'm not even going to say I would. I'd like to think I would give more, but I'd probably just blow more money. Everybody spends money on what they want to spend money on. I've used the illustration many times. If you see somebody so proud of their car, whatever the case is, their bike, their trike, their big wheel, whatever it is. And you know, you realize that any one of us could have the same car if that's what we want to spend our money on. Yeah. I could have a Ferrari today. I just wouldn't have a house. I'd be living in a Ferrari.
Couldn't get in that Ferrari.
I couldn't fit in that Ferrari. That is true. If you all see Lenny and I cruising around in a Ferrari, you know something's wrong, okay? We might get in, we're not going to get out. But folks are always longing for more.
Right.
The devil sold folks a bill of goods.
Yeah.
The pastor made mention of this, so I guess I can kind of reiterate that without the plastic surgeries and the makeup and all the things that money can buy, and ladies are trying to emulate what they see, and oftentimes even to imitate what they see, and they're falling short because they don't have the money to buy unnatural beauty like the Hollywood harlots do. But they spend their living trying to do that. The famous interview during the Obama campaign, and the lady that just, they asked her, said, well, you know, what would you be willing to give up, you know, to help, you know, with your economy? And she said, I'm not giving up anything. And they said, well, you want to give up your nails? She said, I will never give up my nails. So you want to give up your hair? I will never give up my hair. And yet, probably her downfall of those two very things, because she's not just ugly outwardly, she's ugly inwardly. Because she's certainly not a Proverbs 31 woman. She more has a spirit of Jezebel, if anything else. But she is not going to give this up. I am not going to change this. By the way, effeminate men are in the same boat today. I'm not going to give up my nails and my hair and my pedicures. And, you know, same mindset that they have today. But yet, it's the oppression of the poor. They're chasing a pipe dream. They're following something that there's no end to it. And they cannot see that's what's destroyed them. Covetousness. The lottery. What is the lottery? Lottery, at the root of it, is covetousness. And listen, there's probably not too many people, there might be some here, that haven't had that thought. You see the $1.6 billion Powerball, and you go, you know, what would I do with that? And the reality is, you don't know what you do with that, because it's just so obscene. I mean, how do you even begin? You know, buy the town of Black Creek. That's what, $500,000? I mean, you know. I own my own town and a post office and a church. Come to my church, I own. And yet, that's what folks spend their life chasing. You go down to the casino, down by the gas station, and little podunk Indian casino on the side of the road. There'll be 40, 50 people in there and smoking Senecas and drinking beer and trying to get rich, chasing the one-armed monster. And the devil sold him a bill of goods. And I realize that doesn't affect most of us in here, but let's just let it fall where it may, you lottery ticket buyers. And you know, you're always going to hit the big one. And I remember the day, I've said it here before, but the man in front of me at Speedway, and he's cashing in his $5 ticket, and the lady goes, it's $25. She goes, I guess you want that money. He said, oh, anything less than, what did he say? Anything less than $10,000 is not going to help me a bit. You know, and you don't understand that over the years, that $25 is adding up because you're buying the tickets. And again, it's just a failure. Why? Because covetousness. That lust of the flesh. Why our marriage is destroyed. And by the way, they're destroyed in rich homes just like they are poor homes. It's just most rich people have enough money to hide it. A young lady we knew that grew up in the doctor's neighborhood and grew up and this is back in the 90s, a $600,000 house, antique collection. Her father's gun collection sold for over $300,000. She grew up in that type. And she had told my wife and I years ago, and she said, the most vile people I've met in this world were the people that lived in that neighborhood. everybody is going to visit everybody else's wife and daughters, and there's just no restraint, but yet they have the money to hide it. When court cases come and paternity suits come, they have the money to hide it. They have the best lawyers in town. But when it comes to the poor don't have the money to fight. In fact, most deadbeat dads, and you know the deadbeat dad is, if you're a deadbeat dad, you know you're a deadbeat dad. And most children today have deadbeat dads. Why? Because of covetousness. And if you fathered that child, pay the child support, you bum. You fathered that child, pay for it. Walk away and live in sin, covetousness, the lust of your flesh. But yet, it's the society, it's an oppression. It's destroyed our nation. A young man, I can speak for myself, a young man that doesn't have a father to teach him how to work is not going to work. A young man that sits at home and plays video games all day is not going to work. It's a pipe dream. I said, it's a pipe dream. Why? Because he's not been programmed to work. He's not been taught how to work. He's indifferent. He's lazy. He's careless. He's robotic. Why? Because he never had a dad to teach him those things. But that's part of the oppression. I worked with a man. Listen, we were all making good money back in the early 2000s. And I worked with a man who got fired from the job because he'd stay up late playing video games and couldn't come to work on time. A grown man, an adult man. He's one of those guys that you could just kind of tell. He was the pastor talking about this. I thought he would nail this too. But he's talking about the uncleanness. He's a guy you really didn't want to be around after an all night sitting there playing his video games. Put a catheter in, sit down with his Mountain Dew and his Twinkies and play till 6 o'clock in the morning. A grown adult man. That's common today. That's the norm today. That's the new generation. Something we preachers have got to learn how to deal with today, because that is the normal young man today. He has no motivation. He has no strength. And it's the oppression of the poor. What's the next great thing on your agenda? Living for God? No. The new Xbox is coming out. What's the next thing on your agenda? What's the greatest thing that God's going to do in your life? Give me the latest game. God forbid. You young men, listen to me. God forbid. I didn't have a dad to teach me how to work hard. I was just made to work hard. We didn't have a choice. We lived in poverty. We knew what it was to grow vegetables. Knew what it was to find. Listen, I'm instinctively extremely lazy. The only reason I get out of bed is I'm married. Amen. If I didn't have a wife, I wouldn't even bother with that. Just sit at home and just eat until I got sick and fat. Well, some of you know what that's like. Amen. You just say amen. Help me out. That's your life. As a lot of folks have that. Why? Because poverty does that to you. Somebody else is taking care of the bills. Why not?
Come on.
A lot of folks need to dedicate their heart to the Lord, dedicate their life to the Lord, start doing something for the Lord. There's no excuse for that.
Come on.
It's covetousness. We take, we take, we take. But we don't give back.
Uh-oh.
That's the oppression. You realize back in the 1970s, early 70s, 73, 74, they said, you know, we need to come up with a food pyramid. There's too many people in America that don't have food. They didn't consult nutritionists or medical doctors. They consulted, of all people, they consulted economists. And the food pyramid was supported by the FDA, built on economists. How is it? We can afford to feed people. What do we can afford to feed people? Rice, whole grains, beans, sugar. What's at the bottom of the food pyramid? All of those things. Why? It's money. We eat according to our poverty. We live according. I'm not trying to be ugly this morning. I'm just going to say some things I pondered. I pondered these things. These aren't reckless. We eat according to our poverty. We said, then we eye two things in the showcase. We're going to give our children fruits and vegetables or cheap rice. We're going to give them cheap rice. Why? It's cheaper. That's an oppression. That's an oppression. We weigh the cost of things. We say, you know what? We'll go with the cheaper option. You want the car with rust? Do you want the beauty? Well, you can get a car you want to pay for. Whatever you want to pay for, you're going to get it. That's with food. That's with clothing. That's with your manner of life. That's with everything you do. You're going to get what you pay for. That's an oppression. But let me say this. It's not an excuse.
Yep.
It's not an excuse to be lazy. It's not an excuse to be distant from God. It's not an excuse to sit around all day. It's not an excuse to not live for God. It's not an excuse to be indifferent to the things of God. You say, well, we're just poor country folk. Now listen, I'll tell you the illustration, and I'll be real careful. The first time I ever pondered that, so down south, I was at a home, and the family said, we just poor country folk. And then the lady's like, we just poor southern folk. But I noticed that when the preacher came, he got hot dogs and beanies and weenies and tater chips, but in the freezer was everything but. And I said, well, you poor country folk, you just don't want to feed the preacher, that's all. Three, four cars in the driveway.
Yeah.
Deck on the back of the house, probably a $15,000 deck, half finished, by the way. We just poor country folk, after all. Everybody doing okay? Lights adorned in jewels, we just poor country folk. It's not an excuse. But yet it's disabled people today because they cannot overlook their poverty. They sit around naming the name of Christ and they lament how poor they are. And it's crippling. I want some of you to listen to me. If God wants you to go somewhere, he'll give you gas money. Well, we just can't afford to drive up there, preacher. Your family's lost. You can't afford not to. Well, preacher, we just can't afford this. Your family's lost. You better learn how to afford it. It could be we just aren't willing to sacrifice what we love so much. A little slumber, a little folding of the hands. And what comes to want? Somebody help me out. Poverty comes. Why? We slept through the wake-up call. We slept through it all. And all of a sudden it strikes us and then we lament that. We complain about that. I know folks on disability. They cannot afford to live an extravagant life because all they have is disability. But I know there's two types of folks. Those that complain about it all the time. And those that just live in it. I know widows on a pension. I know widows without a pension. You know what I've learned? There's some that complain about it all the time. There's some that just live with it. There's some that live for God and some that don't. Some that do the work that God's called them to in the church. Some that don't. You probably can figure out which category is which. Has God gone out of business? Then why do we whine so much? Has God failed you? Has God let you down? Calamity's come upon you. Is it God's fault? No, we learn from the patience of Job. That's what Job was known for. The patience of Job. Wait on God. See if God can and will turn it around. But God can't turn it around. Our mouths are open against him about it.
Yeah, that's good.
Now, in case you don't think I know what I'm talking about, I've been flat broke much of my life. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you what a genius I was. I used to invest my money back when I was, like, you know, early 1900s. I was in my early 20s, 1990s. I'd invest my money in things like cigarettes. Brilliant investment, by the way. Make sure you got lung cancer. It's one of the great things you want to do in your life. Invest in cigarettes. If that's not enough, let's invest in other tobacco products. Or I don't know, it's legal in New York now. Let's invest in marijuana. That will help me. And then they go, you know, it makes me feel better. But they're not looking down the road when it's going to destroy your life. And some of you that know just ought to say amen right there.
Amen.
Short term. Why? Because that's the oppression. Marriage problems? I know. I'll just spend the money, get rid of this one, and get me another one that I can destroy. Yet it happens all the time. All right, now, let's not get married. Let's just keep it simple. That's too expensive nowadays.
Uh-oh. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Do you see the pattern? Covetousness, lust. It's a pipe dream. Solomon wrote about it often, and he just said it's vanity. It's altogether vanity. And yet we watch a generation of this day. We watch a generation that the government's given everything they need. They always want more. They always pour them out. They always complain, yet they've not done one thing to gain or earn anything that they have in their life. And they despise it. But what about faith? Which was not a faith is sin. Do we believe God? Do we believe God can? Do we believe God will? Folks in this building I know had great trials of their health. Things I wouldn't want to endure. Some take it in stride. Some learn to live with it. There's some that would overthrow and put you in the loony bin. Because God so wronged you. You see, the wicked comes and he oppresses. And he's very skillful at doing it. He's destroyed this community. He's destroyed this county. He's destroying this state. He's destroyed the state I live in. Folks walk around medicated. Walk around so doped up that they're not even cognizant of other people. Not even cognizant that you exist. They don't care that you exist. All they care about is trying to get through another day, live another day of their life in poverty. Always dreaming of getting rich. Always dreaming of having more money. Always dreaming of the day when finally their ship comes in. And for most, it never comes in. And then they die without Christ. And they die hopelessly lost. Always dreaming of a day when their life would get better. And that's the great oppression. That's the great persecution upon the poor. They get the tax return. Do they invest it wisely? Can I do some non-Dave Ramsey counseling? He's the God of most independent Baptists. They don't believe the Bible, but they believe Dave Ramsey. Can't practice biblical Christianity, but they believe him. I've had people preach him to me before, and I'm going, what do you mean a budget? What's a budget? They get all offended with me. You don't have a budget? No, I don't have a budget. Amen. Money comes in, we spend it. If it doesn't, we don't.
Right.
Don't get upset with me.
Sounds right to me.
It's a reality. That's it. Self-employed man, he knows. If folks get the tax return, what's the first thing they do? Go buy their dream, whatever it is, car, furniture. They go buy what they wanted. Why? Because they're covetous. Well, we've really needed this. We've really wanted this. We really needed this. How bad did you need it? And then for 11 months, they complain about being broke. You can get a CD right now at 5.6%. You put your earned income credit for three children in there, put $7,500 in the bank. I'm not going to give you the exact amount. It's probably about $36 a month right now. But we don't think that way. Why? Give me, give me, give me, give me. And clearly another oppression of the poor. He said in verse 3, for the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. You know, it's kind of shocking when you first go full-time in ministry and you're living by faith and you watch people that despise a man living by faith.
Oh, yeah.
Despise him. But they look at a rich guy and think, boy, what a great man he is.
Yeah.
That preacher's living by faith, trusting God for every step, trusting God for every meal. And they look at some rich man and go, man, he's a great man.
Yeah.
You know why they boast in their heart's desire. So longing to be rich. So longing to be that man. So longing to be that successful one. Can I say this real plain? If anybody boasts of Tim McVeigh after he's dead and gone, which probably won't be too many people do that, maybe for a year or two. You know what the reality is? It's the fruit that I leave behind that I'm concerned about, not how much money I left behind. It's the fruit of the ministry that I'm concerned about. It's in my children. I've invested in your children. But see, we don't see that. Folks say, well, you know, these preachers, they just preach because they don't want to work. Two Sundays ago, I was in Maine. Now, you want to ask me if it was a vacation? I'll show you where we stayed. 12 hours up, 12 hours back. Preached for 4 days. Home for one day, drove to North Carolina. Preached all day Sunday, 3 services like we do here. Went down the road an hour, heard Brother Rick Rose preach. Thank God, 2 weeks in a row, get to hear Rick Rose on a Sunday night. Once in North Carolina, once in New York. What a blessing that is. Monday through Friday, I went through Wednesday, preached each night. Packed up, drove home Thursday. Got home Thursday, mowed the grass, threw laundry in. Friday, repacked the car, drove up here yesterday. Be up here for 2 weeks. And then somebody says, McVeigh's lazy. Oh, but that rich man, what a great man he is. They boast of the covetous.
Right.
They boast of those hardworking covetous men.
Right.
Listen, your pastor knows a man, I know a man. He's a multimillionaire. And you'd never know it. He doesn't dress like a millionaire, doesn't live like a millionaire, and he talks like he's poor all the time. He'll call me up and he'll say, Tim, I can't do a lot, but I can pray for you. He says, yeah, we got legal fees, we got this and law. And by the way, I don't know about you, I don't have legal fees. Thank God for that. Haven't had legal fees in 25 years. To God be the glory. So let me just say amen on that. Amen. I don't have to retain lawyers anymore. I don't have to worry about the legal system anymore. I don't have lawyers on standby to help me. I don't have an accountant. I don't have a CPA. Amen and amen. We just do our own taxes, by the way, just throwing that out there. We don't cheat on them either.
Right.
He'll go, I can't do a lot to help, but I sure can pray for you. He told me, he said, this 2 years ago, he said, we spent $230,000 last year on lawyers. I said, well, good night. No wonder you can't help me. I've never had that problem. I've never had that problem. Some of you have. I've never had that trouble. Some of you probably wish you had spent more on a lawyer. What does this oppression get you? Despondent? Covetous? Asaph talked about it in Psalm 73. What you start looking out there, you start saying, if I just had a little bit more. You see, those rich folk, they're not troubled like I'm troubled. Why? They have the best doctors, the best health care. They don't have to wait in line to get an appointment. And by the way, that'd be a wonderful thing. I learned the hard way. You don't cancel an appointment on the VA. They'll bump you so far down the list, you can't see the people above you. Rich people don't live that way. Their cars run. It's some reason deer don't jump in front of rich people. I don't know what happens. Their shoes don't wear out. They get the finest clothes. They eat well. They scoff at the beef and barrel.
Right.
I'd be able to win. They wouldn't set foot in that place. Ha! And we start looking at them. They start lusting in our hearts. Mm-hmm. Start coveting what they have. Because this is what we think.
If I had what they had, my life would just be better.
Sure.
But if you can't be content with what you have right now, your life's never going to be better.
If you're not content with such things as you have, your life's only going to get worse.
We sang that song, not too many praising him. What'd you praise the Lord for this morning?
Lord,
Lord, thank you for my poverty. Thank you I'm not like those rich people. Thank you for the air you gave me to breathe. Thank you for that rain that fell upon our grass. Thank you for my car or a free ride to church. Boy, some folks used to be all out of sorts. They didn't have a car. I told Jake Byler a couple months ago, you know, somebody mentioned to him some things concerning his manner of life and things like that. I said, well, Jake, I guess you made it this far without a car. You don't need one now. He just laughed. He said, nah, I don't need a car. I said, well, I've lived with him so long, I don't think I want a horse, Jake. He said, no, I understand. Amen. What is it you got your eyes on? You're more worried about this meeting, you're more worried about your problems. You're more worried about what God's going to do this week. You're more worried about all those things at home. Is God able? Can God? He can. I believe there's men that won't go into ministry because they don't want to be poor. I wept when God called me to preach. I made the statement that probably the day after I was called to preach, I said, I'm going to be poor again. And you know what's amazing? I'm poor. But I don't know it.
Amen. Yeah.
He doesn't bother me. I don't mind going to the thrift store. I don't mind selling junk in my backyard. It don't bother me. Used to when I was too proud. I don't mind driving a van with 125,000 miles on. In fact, that's almost new nowadays for us. Amen. Well, Lenny's worked on it. Ricky destroyed it, but what did the Camry die with? How many miles on that Camry, Ricky? 494. Didn't make it to 500. Had I kept it, it would be about 600 right now, but Ricky and Audie destroyed that thing. I remember having 120,000 miles in that car. I'm sending out a prayer letter. The churches back then, you had to send a prayer letter because, you know, you're going to the ministry and, hey, look at me. Blah, you know, and I learned nobody responded. I said, I'm not sending $52 a month to send a prayer letter so nobody cares. So I stopped that real quick. If you preach today, you go, do you have any prayer letters? I'm like, no. I haven't had one for 13, 14 years. So you don't send out a prayer letter? No, I don't. Well, that's not normal. Well, nothing I do is normal, but that's okay. We're not doing it to be anti-normal. We're just not normal. And I just said, pray. We got a car that has 120,000 miles on it. Pray that God will provide. Had some people reach out, contact us. Brother, we're praying. You know, pray. No, but, you know, 454,000 miles on the car. I finally sold it to Ricky. I told him, I said, if you drive this for 3 years, you got a good deal. 5 years? Yeah, he drove for 5 years. He got a good deal. I'm about $8 a month. Amen. Pretty good deal. Can God take care of it? So why are we looking over there? Why are we having that pity party? Do you realize if you don't take care of the things you have now, nicer things, you'll just destroy as well? If your child ripped a hole in your couch, you know what he's going to do to the new couch? Come on. I go to the auction sometimes. You'll see this beautiful settee or living room, you know, or a bedroom set. One does a bedroom set. Just absolutely phenomenal, beautiful. And it's not bidden. You're going, looking around. Somebody whispered, dog. You're like, ah, Baylor's, you know, dog. You know, ah, you know. And you go up there and the leg's half chewed off the couch or half chewed off the dresser. And, you know, you go, well, we need a new dresser. You or the dog? I mean, who needs it? He's going to chew the leg off that one, too.
Jennifer needs new sneakers.
Jennifer needs new sneakers. All right, pray for Jennifer. You don't want to donate? Help her out some sneakers. I know it's been a little bit light for as heavy as the subject is, but let's just be real about it. Are you feeling oppressed? You feel that downtrodden? You feel like you just can't get ahead? You feel like you're just pressed down? Look at verse 18 again. To judge the fatherless and the oppressed. Who's going to do that? The Lord. You know what he's going to judge you for? Not for the oppression. For how you lived your life in the oppression.
We're all oppressed. Own a piece of property in New York, you'll find out how oppressed you are. Folks from Tennessee, if you told them what your property taxes were, they'd probably burst into tears. $2,500, $3,000, $4,000. School tax on top of that. Ours is $2,600 this year in Pennsylvania. They keep sneaking it up every year. Haven't done a thing to the property. In fact, I thought about it. I should knock some windows out, see if they go down, but they'll probably go back up anyway. We're all oppressed. You know, just between spirit-filled folk and everybody else, oppression doesn't bother spirit-filled folk. They just go ahead and live this life.
Amen.
They just go ahead and live without. They'll do without that others can have, even in the oppression.
Sorry.
They persecuted the poor. Why have the wicked persecuted the poor? He also boasts of his heart's desire. And then what does he do? It says again in verse 3, he blesses the covetous, and here's our problem, whom the Lord abhorreth. God hates covetousness.
Come on.
What is your discontent? Looking out in that far country. Looking for more. Looking for better. Thinking somehow if I could just have a little bit better, my life would be easier. But it won't be. Do you realize a $50,000 car needs maintenance just like a $5,000 car does? Do you know you got to put tires on both? Put gas in both? Pay insurance on both? The difference is if you hit a deer in your $5,000 car, it's only $2,000 damage. Yet when you're $50,000 car, it's about $25,000 damage. And the insurance company still won't total it. Amen. We're looking, we're longing for all of these things. I got one point in the message. This is the point. How much did you consider God in all of this?
Amen.
Has God left you out in the lurch? Has God wronged you? You say, God's left us in poverty. Maybe he'd help you if you'd quit feeling sorry for yourself. Maybe he'd help you if you find out whatsoever state you're in there with to be content. To be content with such things as you have. He said also with food and raiment therewith to be content. Is money the root of all evil? No, it's the love of money. I just need a little bit more. Lord, I'll just be happy if I had a little bit more. Last Saturday, Brother Cecil Newton made us ribeyes at the house. I mean, big, thick, probably 18, 20-ounce ribeyes. And I didn't want to be a glutton. I didn't want to. I'm looking at this 18-ounce ribeye thinking, oh, my goodness. And anyway, so I ate that and the rest of Rebecca's as well. I didn't want to be a glutton. But you know what's funny? I woke up Sunday morning hungry. What a shame. So empty. So shallow. I'm talking about first class steak. They had baked potatoes the size of softballs. They had broccoli trees the size of shrubs. They had a salad. Yeah, anyway, they had a salad. At least there was cheese on it. Thank God for that. I asked him where the bacon was. He looked at me like I was crazy. And I said, it's not a salad. Listen, I call it breakfast. Why? It's bacon, eggs, and cheese. And then people put lettuce underneath of that. Amen. To me, that's a salad. I was starving again on Monday morning or Sunday morning. I had to go down and eat again. It didn't satisfy. I've bought things. Listen, I recently bought a pair of moccasins. They're on a thrift store, brand new, in the package. Man, I was so excited. I said, man, these are going to help my feet. I always wanted a good pair of Minnetonka moose hide moccasins, and there they were. My size fit perfectly. I wore them about 2 months, the heel fell off of them. All my dreams were shattered. We got that Toyota Sienna, replaced the Camry with it. Man, again, all my dreams are satisfied. I got a minivan, I can haul my stuff from Kohl's. It's a wonderful thing. A month and a half later, the plug pulled out of the back of the radiator where the transmission coolant goes in. I dumped radiator fluid the whole way up the sheets, the whole way back again. Barely made it back in the driveway. All my dreams were shattered. We put stock in all of these things and we can't figure out. It never makes us happy. It just brings misery and woe. And yet we've invested over and over and over and over again. And we can't see that's our oppression. That's why we're miserable. That's why we're unhappy. We somehow have ignored the Bible and said, you know what, things will satisfy me. And things have never satisfied. Part 2 of the best message you ever heard will be at 1:00. Pastor Hayden.